I'm at a loss for words.
So are we going to do this thing?
For the first time today. I've been a freaking caffeine freak and an insomniac all weekend.
Awesome.
Did you say that to me yesterday, Will, when you woke up? When we woke up? Not next to each other, but when we woke up in separate rooms. Did you even go to bed? I think I heard you say that, and I was like, no. As I was kind of like, I didn't really sleep. I don't know what my trip was, but...
That was supposed to wake you up, and you were already awake.
Actually, yeah, I got up before you did.
Well, there you go. That's more than I wanted to know.
Well, what? We didn't do anything. God.
I know.
I mean, as far as I know, it's nice to have a big teddy bear.
Wookiee.
I'm waiting for someone like Sasquatch. I'm waiting for a Sasquatch sighting in my condo complex. Okay, what is that thing walking out of your house? I don't know.
You've never seen Harry
Anderson? One night, I was just sitting here Friday night, dude, and he just started moving his shit in. I mean, pardon my French, but he started moving his stuff in. And I couldn't do it. I mean, look how big he is. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't stop him, you know.
Right.
It's like, whatever, dude. So, you have some announcements to make.
I have lots of announcements. And I have some exciting news as well.
What's that?
You're
having a baby.
No. I might look like it, but I'm not. But I'm not having one. No, first of all, I want to announce that this is indeed Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we've got a very exciting show. Do stay tuned, because...
We're not telling you yet.
We're not telling you yet who we have on, but this is big.
We're
going
to hold
big,
it
big,
out
big,
to
big
the
news.
Last second.
Yes. Ghostly Talk is done from the Haunted Basement Studios, still, in Fraser, Michigan, and it's moving.
It's moving.
So we will be moving the show.
We've bought a building.
Helicopter pad on top.
Yeah, it's a helicopter pad on top. It's actually got a garage for the limos,
mm-hmm.
and a pool in back.
Yes, and, unlimited Diet Pepsi fountains all over.
Yeah,
throughout,
it's all on tap.
Throughout the building.
It's all on tap, even in the bathrooms.
We're
why don't you just cut the middleman out of that, walk to the bathroom, and
right.
just put it right there, and just
you
drink.
Just put it right there.
Open, drink, open, you know, so, yeah. It's good. It's a beautiful building.
And almost everything is wireless, so I love it. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so we're just going to be like, Doug will be on one side of the building, and I'll be on the other side of the building, and... We'll be in the bathroom, and everybody will be everywhere. Sorry,
it'll be
ahead.
Great. And but right for now, we are still done out of the Haunted Basement Studios in
mm-hmm.
Fraser, Michigan.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous day here. It's going to get even better because we've got an extra special guest,
mm-hmm.
which you, Scott L., have lined up.
I am not responsible for it.
Oh, you're not?
I mean, I may have done a little bit of work, but I'm not responsible for it. Our good friend, who we'll mention after the first break.
Ah, good idea.
We'll say that. But I don't want any clues. I don't want
no
any. Anything out there,
no
I don't
clue.
Want anything known. But
right.
but I'm not responsible for this. I'm not.
Okay.
I will
okay.
not take the I will
well,
not take the blame.
All I can
in
say
some
is
cases, or the, you know,
we're still
the credit.
Super super duper excited about
it. Oh, definitely, it's gonna be really cool.
We're also broadcast live on Pioneer Radio.
Yeah.
It's pioneer.rolo, ROLO.net. Our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
We're broadcast live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. on Pioneer, as well as. Indie Music Exchange.
Yeah, IMX.
Right, it's INDIE
mm-hmm.
Music
Exchange.
BHANGE.
Great station. Great stuff he has going on there. It's Brian over there. He's got some great stuff going on. Radio New York International is another person, that, or another group of people,
R&I.
Wonderful people that are doing doing some wonderful work for us, along with a host of other people. And wonderful stations that are on, they're on the
eventually,
site.
Yeah.
Go check them out.
They're all on the site. They're listed.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out. This is independent media happening. And we want everyone to listen if you possibly can.
Yeah.
Speaking of
what I do?
Talk shows and stuff. No, this is
my look on your
my
face.
News. This is my exciting story.
Okay. All right.
I couldn't even believe it, but I happened to be like groggy at like 5 a.m. Right?
Today?
Today.
Okay.
Well, what?
This morning.
14 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was flipping around on the channels on my alarm clock, because I unsuccessfully tried to set my alarm clock in my, you know, bizarre, foggy-headed state, right?
Yeah.
But I did find on Magic, WMGC,
yeah,
which is like 105.1 or something FM here in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
a show that I grew up listening to,
uh-huh.
that I totally, absolutely love,
okay,
that formed the basis for pretty much everything I do.
Okay.
It helped choose what college I went to. It helped me get into. Then when I went to college,
mm-hmm.
I was believe it or not, for a couple of semesters, a DJ.
Nope.
Yeah, I know about that.
At WTWR.
So you had previous experience to doing our little broadcast.
Right, and so it helped form all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. This little offshoot in my life. And
the little Doug psyche.
Yeah, this show is phenomenal. It's still in production. I had no clue.
Oh, really?
Until last night in my groggy-headed state at 5 in the morning mm-hmm. on some obscure channel here in Detroit that's just not on any preset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's on someone's preset, but it's certainly not on mine.
It's going to be on yours. I know that. Probably.
Well, it is now. Yeah. But
what's the name of it?
It's called Ask the Professor.
Mm.
Ask the Professor. And what it is, it's a panel of 5 or so professors from University of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's called University of Detroit Mercy, and they've updated all their like promos and stuff. Well, of course that happened years ago, but mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, when I graduated from U of D, mm-hmm. it was still called University of Detroit, and then that fall, for that next fall semester,
mm-hmm.
it was then called University of Detroit Mercy.
Oh, they changed it right after you left.
Right. So I was
and that changed like in 1907 or something like that?
Somewhere around there, yeah. That's the year that I
shot in the face for that one.
Graduated from University of Detroit
mm-hmm. yeah.
before it became U of DM.
Mm-hmm.
So now I guess I've got a standing appointment at 5 a.m.
every day.
Sunday morning.
Or every Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's weekly. What they do is they've got a panel of 5 professors,
mm-hmm.
right? And these are people who are Jesuit priests. These are people who are, you know, actual professors, all these folks. And they get together, and the announcer takes listener submissions, questions,
mm-hmm.
right? And the trick is, or the game is, you have to stump the panel.
Really?
And you tell the rules. It's like you quizzing the panel of professors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get to give the rules. You must get all 10 right, or you must get 5 out of 50, or
okay.
you must get, you know, 100 out of 1,000. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, however many questions, you have to tell them what you consider a passing score,
mm-hmm.
and then they ask the questions one by one of the panel.
Wow.
And it's insane. It is one of the most insane shows.
It's like the opposite format what we do here.
Right.
It's very structured. It's
right.
like grill the person as much as possible.
Right. Well, what they do is these questions are sent in by listeners, and they have some favorites. And if you happen to stump the panel,
mm-hmm.
you win an autographed photograph of the panel, right? That's your prize. It's an autographed.
Hey, you know
photograph.
What? That's cool. New car.
Yeah.
No, you don't need that.
You win an autographed photograph of the panel that you've stumped, right? If you do not stump the panel, you win a photographed autograph of the panel.
Is that seriously?
They actually must have written down their names and took a picture of it.
That's hilarious.
It's the photograph of the autograph. So you get an autographed photograph or a photographed autograph, depending on what you know whether you've stumped the panel or not.
That's great.
It's the simplest thing on the planet, and I absolutely love it. That is one of the formative shows.
That's better than our prize around here. If you win a contest here, you get to listen to Ghostly Talk for free.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Huge prize there, man.
So right. I'm really impressed, and I'm super glad that it's actually still in
production. It sounds like a really interesting format. I'm sure you can learn a lot from that, too. I'm sure there's some real...
I would be sending out so many autographed photographs that I would be like...
Stacks of...
Photograph poor, yeah. Because
stacks of papers.
I wouldn't be able to answer 99% of these questions. These are tough questions, but the professors are super smart, so...
I'm going to have to check that out next weekend. You said 5 a.m. Sunday morning?
5 a.m. Sunday morning.
What station? Let's pimp them.
WMGC 105.1 or something like that, or 105 point something.
Okay, all right.
It's FM, which is
105.1.
It's a band that I don't, or a FM band, I guess, that I don't usually listen to.
Well, that's way over.
I'm an AM channel.
That's way over on the west side of the FM band,
yeah.
too.
That's like way over there.
That's like you're borderline, like ready to fall off the edge of the world or something like
Doesn't
that.
Does it go up to like 107?
It's like 108 or something, I think. Yeah.
107.9 is the highest it goes online.
So this is like the almost last station on the right, right?
Yeah. like, it's like you get all the hot stuff right in the middle, you know, and... You go out to the nether regions of the FM band.
Well, our stuff, our stuff is like in the middle, usually, like 93, 96, in that range.
Local talk, yeah.
And, but, 105.1, you have to be, like, way over in the boonies.
Well, it's probably, like, it's probably the most killer show, too. I'm gonna have to check it out myself. But.
It's an amazing show. And I've actually searched the internet before. About a year and a half ago, I searched the internet for references of Ask the Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is a phrase that you can type into Google and get very little odds.
Okay.
If you just do, quote, Ask the Professor, end quote, or Ask the Professor U of D, or Ask the Professor University of Detroit, or any of that, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing. The closest thing you get is, I think, what's his name, Art Beer, is the theater producer at U of D, or was.
Okay.
He, very famous guy, evidently. And, I don't know.
And on the internet, at least.
Yeah, you get stuff references to him, and he's, as far as I know, I don't think he's even on the panel, so, ever. But maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough history. I remember listening. I listened to it for several years, and
all of a sudden,
then I went to U of D,
right?
And after that, I have never found it again.
And all of a sudden, after like an ex-girlfriend, it's back in your life.
Well, exactly.
Whether you like it or not, it's back in your life, and you can't stop it.
Really geeked. I have to figure out a way. I've got so many computers and so much media stuff going on here. What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to figure out how to tape off of the FM band automatically during that half hour so that I don't have to, you know, like, physically be awake for it. If I don't figure that out...
So you're going to have to mic your clock radio and...
Give me a call. Give me a call.
Somebody.
5 a.m.
Isn't there an earphone jack or something on there?
On what?
On your clock radio.
Probably, but...
Plug into that.
How do you automate it?
Mm.
How do you automatically make your computer or your...
I have a...
Tape player...
I have something.
Start recording at a certain...
I have something for you.
I need TiVo for radio.
No, I have something for you that we'll discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
I have a piece of software for you.
Although...
This is called Brainstorming on the Air with Doug.
I have that that VCR, and you can set a VCR to tape.
More or less act as an ADAT. That's what it'll basically be.
Right. So anyway, I'll try and figure something out. But that's the exciting news is Ask the Professor.
We're going to start rebroadcasting at Ask the Professor here. We'll archive it along with our regular archives every week.
I wish they would let
me.
They would let me do that, I would so totally do it. I would broadcast Ask the Professor.
Light bulbs are everywhere.
I would broadcast Ask the Professor on internet radio. It's that good of a show.
I'm gonna check it out. Everybody local.
I wonder if I should email them or I don't think they even have an email. I should probably write them. I'll have to find some paper. And
like write on a piece of paper and then go to a mailbox and
with a stamp.
Touch that thing.
Where do you get stamps nowadays? Bonnie's got one?
Oh, yeah. Bonnie's purse, apparently. That's where you get your stamps at. Bonnie just sits on her front porch every day with her purse in her hand, and people just come by and buy stamps off of her. Bonnie
is 37 cents.
Yeah. Bonnie's got her own little stamp cartel going with her pinky ring on, and, oh, yeah.
I didn't know you...
72 cents.
I didn't know you had, like, some... You know,
do you like wear like a black suit with like pinstripes?
This old fashioned, like actually write a letter.
Like a compound. Like,
I think I should write them a letter because it's my like.
It sounds cool.
Thing, and ask them, you know, dudes, can I tape this or get a tape or whatever and put it out on the internet for people because the show is that phenomenal.
Yeah.
Where do you get those?
It's called the post office.
The post
office. The post
office.
I go there every once a week to look at that box thing we got.
Oh, that's where they keep the mailboxes.
Yeah,
there's a post office.
I stare in the window and go, okay, there's nothing there again. All right, I'm out of here.
Well, I have to make an announcement.
Uh-oh. You're having a baby.
What our staff, our news guy,
yeah.
Havoc, Elmer.
He's having a baby.
No.
Oh.
No.
Somebody's got to have a baby today.
His birthday was Friday. We got to say happy birthday.
Oh, here we go. Ready?
All right. Oh. We can't sing that song.
Why not? It's copyrighted.
It's copyrighted, and we.
How about I do a death metal? They can't copyright that. And he likes death metal. No, that's not going to work, is it?
It doesn't have.
Happy birthday, Havoc!
But happy birthday,
yeah.
Havoc! That's fantastic.
You know what? I think he mentioned that to me, but I was in a state of delirium when he said it.
17 or 18 now.
Yeah, 14. No, he's 14. He's 14, I thought. Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Amazing.
Everybody, email. Our resident news guy, Havoc, His email's on the front page.
Go to the
website.
Yes, go to the website, and down in the left-hand column, somewhere down there, it's like contact us or something like that. And there's email Havoc or email the news guy, something about that.
I want to see him with gigs of porn in his inbox by the morning. Everybody hook him up. Yeah, Will, why don't you start?
Okay? Yeah, you start. Just dump that.
Yeah, just like, why don't you load it all up on a server and then like just give him the link and let him suck it down.
An 80-gig drive
no pun intended.
Or something of porn. That'll work.
Happy birthday, Havoc. Yes. Happy birthday. Wow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday! I'm gonna have to mail you something special. No, no, I'm gonna have to hook him up. We're both big music fans.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to get him something really nice and mail it to him. I don't know what his address is, but I'm sure I can find that out from some source somewhere.
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, okay, great.
Perfect.
There was the source right there.
There we go.
Big thing. Obviously, we posted up this month's schedule of guests for the site.
Go to the website, because this is
going to be one of the hardest months we've ever had.
This is insane.
Yeah.
Here's why, because I know the backstory of all the guests, right?
Yeah.
And I know that it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
But there are folks who probably look at names and go,
that's why we have a link to their website usually, that you can click on.
And but I have to say, this is one of the most exciting months coming up.
Oh yeah,
that I've ever seen in my life.
We're going to be talking in depth about the Sphinx, the Great Sphinx, for two nights.
Twice. Well, with people who have opposing viewpoints.
Not completely opposing. They have different viewpoints. They were John Anthony West and Dr. Robert Sach. They both were the main spearheads on this project. Dr. Robert Sach is a master geologist at Boston University.
Yep.
And he is the one that devised this theory. We'll give you a little info on this.
Don't we have books?
Somewhere.
We have books by Robert
Sach. You have the internet, though.
Well, we also have the internet. But no, we have books and things. I'm positive.
Dr. Robert Sach has been around for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Brilliant, brilliant professor. Really excited to speak to him. But he is the one that devised the theory that the Great Sphinx is at least 10,000 years old as opposed to 4,500 years old.
Exactly.
Which is the common idea. Which is the proven common idea. And he's taken a lot of flack for this. He's taken a lot of flack for this from the Egyptian Egyptologist, from the Antiquities Committee. But I've been studying his work for years. And I've really been trying to, I really want to discuss this with him on the show. And he was nice enough, him and John, to both come on the show on separate nights. We were going to have them both on in one night.
We could have arranged it.
We could have arranged it, but we wanted...
We would have had a 10-hour show that night.
Well, yeah, that and we all agree that it might be a better idea to, have Robert do his thing and then have John do his thing. So the ideas are separated so we know whose viewpoint is whose, as opposed to two guys going, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, no, you're... You know... I want to make sure. I really want to make sure the information was clear and crystal for people.
Well, I'm sure they have respect for each other.
Oh, these guys are buddies. I'm kidding around. These guys are really cool.
But they
each
do.
Other.
They do have different viewpoints, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very, very interesting. Within the span of what? 4 days? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
We're gonna do Sunday. And we're gonna do a special show on Wednesday.
Sunday and Wednesday. So within a span of 4 days, we're gonna be talking to two leading experts on Egyptology and the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be incredible.
That's just part of it.
Well, that's the part that absolutely floored me.
Those
two, back to back, just within days of each other, we're going to be talking with West and Chuck. So
that's going to be really exciting.
Absolutely
really
floored
exciting.
Me.
John Zaffis.
John Zaffis.
Come on.
Again, I'm speechless. I am totally speechless.
When I heard that news, I'm like, no.
I know. I was thinking.
No.
I'm thinking there's absolutely no possible
way. I am not that cool.
That John Zaffis is coming on Ghostly Talk, but he is.
Yeah, he's coming to talk to us.
And, of course, John Zaffis is a demonologist.
Mm-hmm.
And
he has his really cool Museum of the Paranormal up on the web.
Yes, he is the one with the Museum
so
of the
stuff
Paranormal.
So much stuff on there. Oh, my God. There's, we obviously, the three hosts here, have done a lot of web surfing in our day.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have spurs for it now. And that site, it's one of those sites where it's like you just can't, where does it begin and where does it end? There's no way to figure it out. And it's fun. It's not that it's confusing. It's just like, wow, there's just so much stuff. Where do I begin? And I'm never going to get the end of this thing. Who else we got?
Well, I am interject here for a second. What? Havoc says I'm 24 expletive.
24.
24 expletive.
So am I. I'm 24 also. Yeah, I'm 24.
He doesn't look 24.
He looks 12.
No, Will, I would be like,
just to clarify, Mr. Havoc, Will said that. I didn't say that.
Let me see.
You're 14.
I'm 27 for the 11th year in a row, and I look like I'm about 34. So I don't know. I don't
like
27 that.
Next year.
Ooh, that was my favorite year.
Ooh, Will.
When I was 27? I would love to be 27.
Tell me why later.
Well, I am 27 forever.
That was my favorite year when I was 27.
Oh, 27 rock.
God, it never ended.
I was not young, and I was not old at that time.
Really? That's how you felt, huh?
Before I was 27, I was young and stupid. And then after I was 27, I became old. So that was it.
Tell me this. When you turned 30, did you like have like this revitalization of your life where you tried to like be young again? Because I really... I find myself dressing younger and younger now after I turn 30. I'm trying to be more like a little 12-year-old Backstreet Boy every day, it seems like.
Are you tight rolling your pants and stuff again?
Well, not like that. I mean,
I've done that.
I look at all the kids, you know, and I go to shows and I look at the kids and I'm like, okay, that kid's got a purple mohawk. I gotta get one of those too, you know, just so I can stay with it, dude.
Are you sagging your pants and everything?
What's that?
Sagging your pants and everything?
Well, my pants have always been. That's ridiculous. Now, you know, you look like a big mop walking down the street. I know what you're talking about. So you just stick a head in the top of your
head.
That
is one of the fashions that is just absolutely insanely stupid looking.
Yeah, I agree.
Mean, there were some stupid looking fashions when I grew up, but, you know, I mean, Bonnie's familiar with these.
Oh, yeah. Why is Bonnie familiar with these things?
Because I saw a Halloween picture of her dressed as a 70s girl or something, or 80s girl.
Really? Bonnie?
Oh, nasty.
Do you have like those shirts that like had the paint splashes on them with the zippers everywhere?
And
the zippers. What was with the 80s and zippers?
I have no idea.
Why was the zipper such a fascinating thing back then? Like zip, wow.
Maybe they had some big sale at the zipper company.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they had back stock. Make some shirts.
$400 for a dollar, you know. And
so you look like those old Prince videos or something. Like those old Prince videos with like four guys in front, like, you know, doing that dance, like that intense eye dance with the camera, with zippers everywhere on their persona. But they're intense. They're dancing, but they're looking right at the camera the whole time, like, just, you know, you know what I'm talking about?
Dude, the eye bag.
Yeah. That was, like, insane, dude. I mean, that's the one thing I've always remembered about the 80s was zippers. For some reason, apparently we needed more access to our bodies.
We didn't. Well, the thing is,
was it really hot?
It didn't go anywhere.
No, it was a dead end.
It was a dead zipper.
It was. It was like the Great Pyramid. Like you go down a passageway, there's nothing there. It's a big trick. It's a big joke. I mean, I have a cool pocket right here above my breast on my left side. I can put something really neat in here.
I can put like a lighter there.
Yeah, and then you open it up, it's like.
No.
You end up stabbing yourself with a lighter before you even get the thing. You make a pocket. Yeah, it'll be a hole. No,
right.
I'll never understand what. Maybe it was hot. Somebody
didn't open.
Scott L at ghostlytalk.com. Give me an explanation for this, please. I need to know this.
You just start wearing skids.
Yeah, skids are cool. My skids were all right. I like skids.
What are skids? Why am I?
They're like these really MC Hammer.
Well, they're like plaid, really thin pants.
Yeah, an MC Hammer warm.
A little like road sign in the back, like with the little wavy car thing.
Yeah, it was intense. I mean, you looked really cool. If you had skids, dude, you were the man.
Doesn't,
or a woman.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Chris, did you wear skids?
I didn't wear skids. I was a dork.
Chris was a dork.
Chris was the dork.
Mick and Sylvia Avery are coming on at the later part of the month, too.
Exactly.
We're going to talk to Gregory again.
So we're talking Mick and Sylvia Avery, who absolutely were incredible the first time they were on Ghostbusters.
It was really cool to talk to them.
I couldn't even imagine a more interesting guest than Gregory Mick and Sylvia Avery. And then there's Weston Shock, and then there's the...
Preston Dennett coming out at the very tail end of the month.
Preston Dennett. I've read two of his books since we talked to him.
Oh, he's great.
I've read none before we talked to him.
Great.
Now I've read his book.
It's great.
And
I'm going to be putting up a bunch of articles from Mick and Sylvia Avery down the site tonight also, at their request. They have a bunch of articles they wrote.
Okay.
And I told them that I would put them up on the site for you guys to read, too.
Okay.
So they're really interesting. They're really, really interesting. I'm going to get those up tonight also. And obviously, if you haven't read the site yet, I don't know how the hell this happened. I have no idea. I'll never know to the day I die why he agreed to do this. But we have Henry Rollins coming on the show.
Which is, again...
You may think we're stupid, but I think it's so cool.
No, so again, cool. This is incredible.
He has a lot of really interesting things to talk about, too. We discussed this. It's going to be very, very interesting.
The thing is, here's the story. Okay. The story is we're going to, where are we going? Indiana or somewhere? Indianapolis?
We're coming back from Indiana or something, I think, yeah.
And Scott L. pops this CD in. And it's a talk CD. Now, we listen to talk CDs a lot because we're talk show hosts and stuff like that. And, of course, we also listen to a lot of, like, hard rock stuff. It's really interesting because... With you guys, no matter who I go with, because nobody ever wants to go in the escort, and I think I know why.
But, you know, the best thing, though, Doug, is that, you know, I'll be like, hey, Doug, look, I got the new Cannibal Corpse CD. And you're like, that's so great, Scott! You're, like, the most excited person about nothing, which you completely can't stand it. You hate it. But you're like, dude, that's so cool. Like, look, the guy's head's, like, ripped completely off. Is that not the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life? And you're like, dude, Scott, that is so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
You bought CD?
You spent good hard-earned money on this crap. I mean, good stuff. So I give you credit for that.
But I'm like, okay, so nobody wants to ride the escort and listen to 80s pop and dance.
And then I'm 6'6", it's 300 pounds, and it's tiny. Batman, a little car, does not work.
Okay. Works
in the circus.
Growing out of it, too.
Well, we thought we just found your new occupation.
When I ride with you guys, it's all like, you know, well, that or...
I didn't belch either.
Or really perverted, you know,
disgusting
off the
porn.
Internet.
Yeah. Will actually, he like records the audio off porno movies.
And he plays, and he plays it for us. Ghost
Time. Yeah. And we sit there, like, you know, just, like, looking around at each other, like, so, what is this? What do you really ask? Will? What it is? I mean, there's, like, not even, like, a generic brainless dance beat behind it or anything.
Nothing.
I mean, if there was a generic brainless dance beat behind it, it might be, well, it'd be art then.
Right. So okay. I get one or the other with you guys. Then when I go out ghost hunting with the other group of ghost hunters that, mm-hmm. that I hang with,
yeah.
It's all rap.
You can't win.
I have absolutely no way out.
Because you're a visionary, man. You listen to pop music and you ghost hunt.
I don't think the members of Blondie ghost hunt. I'm sorry.
I think I'm the only pop music listener.
I think people hunt the members of Blondie, though. Oh!
Mike is off. But
I'm
anyway,
sorry, I love Blondie.
Scott L. popped in this talk CD, which we do listen to often.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy them, right? Mm-hmm. And one was Henry Rollins's. What was his?
I think the one we listened to on the way to Indiana was Get in the Van.
Okay.
Which he won an Academy Award for, by the way. He won an Academy Award for this spoken word CD, which is basically his years playing in Black Flag,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite bands of all time.
That was the one.
Yeah.
And I was enraptured. I was totally enraptured by this man speaking on CD. And I, of course, I know who Henry Rollins is and mm-hmm. was and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not dumb. Mm-hmm. And I've not been
You're not,
wise.
Like, not with it, man.
Yeah.
You know?
So I knew who he was, and he's like, yeah, this is Henry Rollins. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. We should get him on the show.
What are we going to talk to him about? I don't care. Let's get him on the show.
It doesn't matter. He's got to be on the show. And so since then, something happened, and Zeus...
Big money was moved back and forth.
Zeus from Mount Olympus on high sent down a thunderbolt or something.
It's
or
funny you mentioned that.
And said, you know, Henry Rollins will be on Ghost. And I'm like... This is insane.
I bought Clash of the Titans yesterday on DVD.
Oh, really?
So, like, and I was, like, you know, the part where they're in that room and they have, like, the little clay figures of everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have, like, these little three fat ones, you know, they're going to be us. He, like, grabs it and puts it in front of a table, you know, and says, okay, put the little microphone there,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's, like, us doing our show. And then they have Henry Rollins, this big, strong, you know, big neck thing, and then, like, puts him next to us. And says, this will be done, or
this,
something really
and
big,
so
you know,
it will
like
be
a thunderous
done.
Voice under it. Speaking of thunder, let's go away for a few minutes.
All
right. That makes no sense, but let's go away anyways. We'll be right back with our guest.
Our special guest?
You're so, I know every single one of you out there right now is sitting on the edge of your seat. You're dying to know who this is. And we're going to let you know after the break.
Awesome. So we'll be back shortly with our special secret guest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Sean Burke, Indiana Ghost Tracker, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening.
www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey guys, what's up?
Okay, are we ready to do this thing, guys?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm going to actually do a very formal, professional introduction.
Intro?
I'm going to do this.
Okay. This will be, you know,
do I have to pay extra for this?
This is going to be a first for Ghostly Talk, a professional intro.
Yeah, I'm going to give this my best shot.
We're going to try.
Okay, our guest today, who's on the phone right now, you just heard his voice.
Yes.
He's hiding right around right. Hiding in the headset.
Yeah.
Our guest, this cult star, okay, has played every evil bastard imaginable from pirates to pimps. And let me put my glasses on because I can't read this.
Okay.
Well, and you thought I couldn't hit somebody with glasses, right?
Career highlights include roles in Spider Baby, Coffee, Diamonds Are Forever, THX-1138, and Black, this is one word I just can't do. I'll never be able to do it. Blaxploitation Cinema's definitive Foxy Brown and the children's television show Jason of Star Command. Okay? In 1997, Quentin Tarantino asks this guest to play the part of the judge in Jackie Brown.
Suddenly, a lot of people are, like, really cluing in.
Uh-huh. A role written specifically for him. Following Jackie Brown, Rob Zombie asked this our guest to act the role of Captain Spaulding in Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses.
Now everybody knows.
You'll never get it.
This role and the movie breathed new life into this our guest's career. I'm trying not to say the name. I keep fumbling over it, right? Captain Spaulding has become the icon for the new horror genre and is adored by fans of all ages. Our guest has just finished filming the sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses called The Devil's Rejects. I want to welcome Sid Haig to Ghostly Talk. How are you doing, Sid?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Did I slaughter that too bad? I mean,
okay. That was very cool.
Because you can mail a fist through the mail if you want, and just like, open it up, and it'll just pop me, like in a cartoon, it'll just pop me in the jaw when I open up the box or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
If I'm correct, July 22nd is the release date of The Devil's Rejects.
Absolutely, that's it.
Now, this is going to be a very, House of a Thousand Corpses. I mean, we've all saw. Well, Doug, I think you've seen snippets of it at our house.
Little pieces, yeah.
Doug's not a big horror fan. He gets scared of that stuff and runs away, right? But Will and myself here, we're big fans of the horror genre. House of a Thousand Corpses really. I mean, it was a real throwback. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this already, Sid. So you know, same formula stuff. But it was a real throwback to the old school horror films that we used to watch, like on Saturday afternoon when we were kids. I know a lot of people out there know what I'm talking about. Saturday afternoon, hot cocoa, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You're in front of the TV for a solid 4 or 5 hours just watching people getting hacked to pieces, right? It was that's what you did on Saturday afternoons when you were in my house, at least. The film had that feel. It was just a really, I mean, well, obviously it was set in an earlier time anyways, but the film just had that old school feel, and I'm sure you've heard references to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It had that overall feel, that discordant feel that you know, it was a story was being told, but at the same time you're like, what the hell's going on? I don't get this, you know, which that's the beauty of that script and that plot was just that, is that it was a story being told, it moved and it took you somewhere, but at the same time you're like, why is this happening? What's going on here? I don't understand this. Now, obviously, you played, and I said this before I ever knew you were going to come on our little talk show. When House of a Thousand Corpses came out, it was 2003 when it came out. I said, Captain Spaulding, Sid Haig played the best role in that film. I mean, that your character made that film. I mean,
he did say that too.
Way
before any of this stuff started getting.
Well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here scratching my head to this day because I don't get it. I really had very little to do in the film. It wasn't like I took up a lot of time, mm-hmm. ate up a lot of celluloid. But I appreciate the fact that people feel that way. It's very gratifying to know that that's going on.
Well, it was just one of those characters that You know, the camera comes down, and you see the front of this place that says fried chicken and gasoline. And you're like, what the hell kind of combination is that? Who put those two things together?
Well, they do it now all the time.
Well, yeah. You know,
yeah, right.
But I mean, that's the first thing I saw. I mean, that's the initial impression. And then I see, you know, this, you know, this, these, you know, toys and stuff and all types of weird things. And then the camera comes to you, and you're this clown standing behind a counter. You know, just this grotesque clown, nothing against your personal
but all
casting
makeup.
Casting aspersions upon my physicality.
So it was all makeup. It was a good makeup job.
People have always had, you know, there's always been this thing, and I'm sure Rob Zombie tapped into this when he was writing the screenplay for this, that, you know, clowns are this hot and cold thing for so many people I know. Clowns either, I mean, I think they're cool. I love clowns. Clowns don't bother me at all. Even after seeing, like, Poltergeist, for example, that made so many people scared of clowns. I have no problem with clowns. I can go to circuses all day long. No problem. Yeah. But there's some people on the other side of the spectrum that are just like, when they see a clown, they run to the hills.
I know two people.
I haven't figured that out yet.
Well, there's this thing of duality right there, though, it seems like. You know, the clown's supposed to be something happy that's supposed to make kids laugh. And I mean, and maybe it's been contorted over the years where you do have roles like Captain Spaulding.
Or the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah, ICP is pretty much, I think they've destroyed the whole clown culture. I'm sure that the clowns out there who do it for a professional trade are not very happy right now with those guys because, I mean, even though...
They're not happy at me either. I haven't been invited to a circus in 2 years.
Oh,
no.
I believe that.
Yeah. Stuff with that.
But I know two people who are just absolutely as afraid of spiders as I am, who are that afraid of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
One lady wouldn't even look at my photos of my trip to Las Vegas. Because there is that one, I don't even remember the name of the casino, the Circus Circus,
mm-hmm.
has a huge clown. She was afraid that might appear in a photo.
Mm-hmm.
And she was that afraid, she wouldn't look at my photos of Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's that afraid of clowns. And I also happen to know,
Well, you know, if she ever pisses you off, give me her address and I'll just show up and knock on the door.
Hey.
That'll fix everything.
She would probably, pass out. I know she would. She's that afraid. And then I happen to know a lady who is a clown. She's also she works in the computer field. But then
that pretty much sums it up right there, Sid.
Yeah. But no, her
no makeup there.
Okay. Not even necessary. But no, she also in her off time she is a clown and she goes to the children's wards of hospitals and entertains the kids. And so I know both ends of the spectrum.
And that's such a good thing.
Amazing.
That's such a nice thing.
Right.
And then we have Sid.
let me give you I did 3 years in a row when I was doing a Jason of Star Command
mm-hmm.
on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
I was invited to do the Huddy Shrine Circus in Evansville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out a very interesting thing about clowns and other elements of the circle. I was standing backstage on the runway, and somebody hollered, "Chimps!" And all of the clowns started diving for doorways and behind stuff. And I'm going, what's up with this? Okay.
Okay.
And apparently, chimps go nuts when they see clowns, and they try to tear their faces off.
Wow!
Gosh! Wow. For real? They try to tear their faces off.
Yeah.
So they've got, like, special riders on their insurance for that.
Yeah, right.
Because I've had riders on our insurance is things like if you lose a finger or a limb or whatever, you know, on the job.
Especially during a radio show. Yeah.
for radio shows, yeah. That's
you don't know how violent it gets here, Sid.
But then,
it gets rough.
But then, evidently, for circuses, they've got, should your face get torn off by a chimp?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I love it.
That's too much.
It's just a piece of useless knowledge that I'll throw for free.
Okay. But there is that
the face paint around chips.
It's always fascinating to me, though, that there's this duality, especially nowadays, because, like you said, Insane Clown Posse, Captain Spaulding, there are these opposite ends of the spectrum.
Stephen King's It?
Yeah, but that was the movie version, though.
Well, yeah.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, God.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
The evil popcorn that eats your skin. I remember that film. That movie. Oh, my God. That scared the crap out of me.
Oh.
That movie scared me, because I'm like, how could anybody it didn't, the movie itself didn't scare me. It scared me that somebody actually wrote a screenplay around that and made it happen. That really creeped me out. I'm like, there's some real weird people around here. I don't want any contact with them.
What do you have to do to get funding for that project?
I kill somebody. Apparently, you have to. I don't know. The mob was involved with it, apparently. I don't know what's going on. July 22nd, though, the Devil's Rejects coming out. I've been to the website a billion times, of course, since I found out that we were going to be having you to talk on the show tonight. The website's a lot of fun. It's actually very cool because, I mean, from what I've heard, because there's a lot of chatter, Sid, you know that. There's a lot of chatter going on right now in the movie geek community. And you know, people are like, well, it's supposed to be like, you know, well, Rob's already said this. Rob said that there's going to be, you know, it's going to be the day after what happened in the House of a Thousand Corpses. And the story goes on from there. And it goes more into the characters, more into the psyche of the characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the website illustrates that really well because each, I mean, like yourself, Captain Spaulding, and God, my brain stopped now. Well, oh my God, my brain's done. Well, the other
Otis
main character,
baby.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If there's anybody that's going to know it, it's going to be you. it goes into these characters. You go to the website. If you go to it's thedevilsrejects.com, I believe that's a very simple URL. Go there,
right, and you can go to get into the profiles of the bios of the characters.
Exactly.
Not my personal bio, but the bio of Captain Spaulding,
yeah,
and Otis, and Baby, and yeah.
Yeah, and it tells you all about these characters. As
right.
far as a, you know, a precursor to going to see the film in the box office, it really is a twisted, it's going to be a very twisted story, I think. And I know myself and Will are going to be like, you know, opening night, like, we talked to him. We're cooler than everybody else in this theater.
See, here's the deal.
Go ahead,
here's
I'm sorry.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, you have to find a comfortable way to work,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yeah.
And, like, in the House of a Thousand Corpses,
mm-hmm.
I did absolutely nothing wrong. Two guys come in to rob my store.
Oh, yeah.
I took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just protecting my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Four idiot kids come in, want to hear ghost stories. I told them. And then they had to go see the tree and told them not to.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to go, and I said, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to go some more, so I said, okay, fine, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the cops, and the girl wanted me to take her to a doctor at the end of the thing, and I did.
I'll take you to a doctor.
It was a different kind of doctor.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything wrong.
No, actually, I never heard it put that way, but yeah, your character, Captain Spaulding, you did nothing wrong in the first film. You were kind of like the guy on the outside, just kind of, you know, laughing at everybody else, more or less, because these people were going to their ultimate demise,
yeah.
more or less.
All these idiots were going to their multiple.
And I'm just helping them along the way.
But yeah, yeah.
And basically the same thing happens in The Devil's Rejects, is, you know, we have to get from point A to point B,
mm-hmm.
and people have the tendency of getting in our way, and oh my God. You know?
Well, God help them.
But
don't
as,
get in my way.
As an actor, here's something, because you said as an actor you have to do these things. Well, that's true. I went, and I actually prepared a little bit, and I went to IMDb.org, which
Ooh.
Is, of course, the Internet Movie Database.
Mm-hmm.
I typed in Sid Haig,
mm-hmm.
like probably a million people have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You've got pages of listings of the stuff you've been in
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
decades.
Yeah,
I mean that's like so impressive. You've been in who else has a career that long with that much stuff in it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anybody. You've been working hard,
and you've done all types of different roles
everything.
Too.
Everything.
From what we've seen, you've done all types of different roles. I mean, Captain Spaulding isn't the only role you've ever done. I think it's the most impressive role.
It's
I mean, that's
new,
what
it's the one of the new ones.
Well, that's what yeah. I mean. Everybody I talked to said that. Everyone I talked to, as far as House of a Thousand Corpses went, when we all saw the film, it's like, so what'd you think, man? And it was like, dude, that Captain Spaulding guy is out there. What's up with that character?
It works.
And you know, the fans are really so cool. I praise them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, first of all, I'm smart enough to realize that without them, I got nothing, all right?
You know, there's so many people that don't get that. I know that.
I don't see how you can miss it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I said.
But obviously, some people are a little
I think
too caught up in themselves to figure that out. But at any rate,
yeah, you pick up a People magazine and it's full of photos of people who don't know that.
Yeah, right. Where the hell's my picture? Yeah,
right. I don't
in the post
it.
Office. Okay.
Sorry, Sam. What were you saying?
The fans. I did a convention where did I do a convention? I think it was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the organizer wanted me to just introduce the screening that they had of Spider Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I went into the room where they were going to do this, and there were about 250 people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, my God, this is very cool. And so I said, how many people have seen this film? And, like, three people raised their hand.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, what are you doing here? a guy chirped up, and he said, because we want to see the rest of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so nice to hear, you know, that somebody caught on to this Captain Spaulding deal and mm-hmm. then just wanted to see some more.
That happens with a lot of people, too. I mean, it even happens to us in our small-time thing we do here. We get piles of emails every week from people going, hey, man, you know, I saw your link on this obscure website out there or whatever, and...
Uh-huh.
You know, I came and, you know, or we had somebody on the show that they were interested in, and they listened to our show, and they go, dude, I'm going back to, like, 2002 and listening to your archives now. And we're
yeah.
like, wow, hey, that's really cool that you appreciate what we're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so very cool, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, obviously you have a whole library of work behind you. So.
Yeah. I just finished my, I think it was 55th film.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, a lot of
just
work.
Last, whenever the hell it was. I think.
You've got, and there's even more coming up. I've seen in, you know, in production, right on your IMDb
profile
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's obviously, July 22nd is going to be a big day, though. That's going to be a real...
What do you do for vacation?
You know, I haven't had a vacation. I'm serious. I haven't had a vacation in 30 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm having so much fun. Like, I go to conventions. I do, like, two conventions a month most of the time. And that's almost like a vacation. Yeah, I got to spend a little time at the table, you know, signing autographs and selling all matter of material. but the people are cool. They hang out. We talk. We get together with fans for dinner and go out and drink and get stupid. And it's all very cool, you know?
You read my mind, because I was just going to say that before you did. So it's like, yeah, you say you haven't had a vacation in 30 years, and I don't remember the last vacation I actually took either. But the stuff that we do with Ghostly Talk,
right.
It's so much fun all the time. This is what a lot of our time is taken up with now. It's so much fun that I don't really feel like people are like, I need a week off, man. And they sincerely I need a week off. I need to get out of here for a week. And I'm like, dude,
you
I
know
got...
when you need to do that? The time that you need that week off is when you hate what you're doing.
Exactly.
Right. And when you need to do something else.
And the worst part is you got to come back to it, too.
Yeah.
So what good is that?
I love people at my day job that say they're like, I'm out of here, y'all. I'm gone. Yeah, I'm on vacation. Yeah, and they're dancing around the office and they're on top of the desks and they're throwing stuff at you. And then I look up and go, yep, you got to come back in 5 days.
Exactly.
And that usually takes the wind out of their sails.
And I don't get the way vacations happen anymore. You know, they say, okay, well, we're going camping for the weekend, and what they do is they go home and they take a whole bunch of their stuff out of their house and they put it in this box on wheels and drive it for 300 miles and then pull out the 27-inch TV, stick it on the redwood table outside. I go, what the hell kind of vacation is this?
Yeah, you can do that in your own house.
This isn't camping.
Okay. Everything. Yeah.
Well, camping's a lot of work too.
That's what I remember when I was little. They, you know, we used to have to go on family vacations, and
oh god,
it was a week. We had
a
trailer. We had to pack for a week, to get everything all set, go away for a week, and that involves unpacking everything and getting it all situated for 2 or 3 days,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a day or two, and then you have to start packing it all back in,
mm-hmm.
and then so you're gone for a week, but most of it is unpacking and repacking.
I've done the same thing, and I'm more tired when I come back. I'm not refreshed.
Right, and then when you come back, you're washing clothes and cleaning stuff.
And you need a vacation.
Yeah, you need a vacation, exactly. You need a vacation from your vacation.
Right.
Right.
So it seems to me, like, as far as this viewpoint goes, it's like it's just an evil, never-ending, vicious circle
mm-hmm.
when you get locked into that, unless you're like...
Unless you like what you're doing.
Yeah, unless you find something you like to do.
And, like, with what we do, we get to go from place to place. Like, we go to Indiana all the time. We go to all over the place.
All over the place.
Michigan.
You go to Indiana all the time?
Yes, mm-hmm. we do. Indianapolis.
Starting July 19th,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing a film in... Peru, Indiana.
I love Peru,
We've
Indiana.
Been there. We've been there.
That's where the Devil Boy is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Poland.
Oh, that's Poland, Indiana.
There you go,
I'm
man.
Sorry.
That's where I'm going to be. Drop by.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What, you said July 19th?
Yeah, from July 19th to August 12th.
You're messing with us. If we come down there, we're like, hi, Sid, we're from Ghostly Talk.
You'll be like, get out of here.
Get out of here.
First round's on me.
You'll be like, all right. Security. Oh.
July 19th? All right. We might actually have to hop in the car and shoot down there. If you're cool with that, we'll come down there and say hi.
It'd be
really nice to meet you.
I love Peru. Yeah. That's right in the heart of the.
Well, now that we've said it on the air, we'll probably have like 500 cars in tow behind us too.
Oh no! I created a monster.
We're like, no, we didn't bring these guys.
We don't
swear
know
to God. We have no idea. Yeah. Hey guys, hey Scott, what's going on? Oh God, no, we don't know these people.
We're on the expressway. They see the.
Okay, now as far as the producer of this film is concerned,
yeah.
I never said a word.
Never said a word.
You guys just, I don't know.
We just happened to be in Peru.
The party, I don't know.
We happened to be in Peru.
I have no knowledge of anything.
Doing the Covered Bridge tour, you know.
Yeah, hey, we're press. We'll have our little thing on our hat that says press.
Yeah.
And then we'll get us right through, get us right past Thor and Zeus, the guards. And, you know, we won't get pummeled to pieces by those guys. I mean, we might be able to go, hi, how you doing? What's going on? Why don't we take a quick break, okay? Let's chill out for a minute here.
That sounds good.
Because, quite frankly, Sid's wearing me out completely with these cool, with all these great viewpoints.
Amazing.
It's just like, it's awesome. Let's chill for a minute. We're going to go to break. Sid Haig's here. Sid Haig's talking to us. I don't
know
why, but he's
amazing.
I ain't talking to anybody anymore. That's it.
We're going to go. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. We're going to take a short break, I think. Just everybody chill out. Get something to drink. Go to the bathroom. Do all your fun stuff. We'll be right back in a minute.